Guys, this is Marva. Can you say hi to Marva this morning? Here's a mic for you, Marva. Guys, this morning, so awesome, the message that I want to talk about, the power of testimony. And amen? Listen, there's something so powerful about our testimonies. Yeah. Something so powerful about hearing stories about who God is and what God does. And I was talking with Marva, who works at our front desk. Marva Tolbert is an amazing woman of God, and she just loves the Lord. If you ever come into the church, you'll just see just her probably reading her Bible. She's in the presence of God, and she's amazing. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to ask Marva to give us a testimony, because there's something powerful when people release testimonies, when they give their testimony. It's inviting us to understand something of who God is, and then saying, God, do that in my life. Amen. So Marva, why don't you tell us just a little bit about your history and how did this kind of start?
Okay.
So just hold that mic up nice and close. Okay. There you go.
Well, can you hear me?
Without you.
Okay, I came from a broken home. I had two brothers, and I was the only girl. My mother worked all the time and was never at home. So consequently, I was a mother of four children by the time I was 24 years old. I asked my mother about my father. She never talked about him. She refused to talk about it. So I never got to meet him. So I don't know what kind of man he was. But for me, it's been a long, hard journey. I got introduced to drugs. I was a crack addict for almost 20 years. I worked various jobs trying to take care of my children.
Hmm.
I came to church in the city 15 years ago, and I worked here as a maid cleaning up. And I was in the sanctuary cleaning one day, and this man walked up to me and asked me, did I know Jesus? And I said, well, I think so. My mother was a Christian. That man was Michael Walker. He introduced me to Christ. I got in a program called Celebrate Recovery. It's a 12-step program for people who are addicted to drugs. I started here cleaning the church. I'm now one of the receptionists here at the church. So I just want to tell you what God can do for you. All of you who are broken, lonely, and hurt, just ask him to help you. He will. In May 19th, my grandson was murdered, shot in the head. In October 21st, I had open heart surgery. The following year, in November, I had a bleed out. I had to have 6 blood transfusions. So God can turn your life around. He can pick up the broken pieces. He can mend your heart. All you have to do is ask him, seek him. He will certainly be there for you. I couldn't have made it this far.
Mm.
I could not have done without the help of Jesus. I want to speak to everyone who was lonely, broken. Just ask God. He will knock. Knock at the door. He will be there for you. He's been there for me for years. I didn't realize how broken and hurt I was until I came here. Mm. I'm like a different person now. I'm an old lady now, but I'm here to tell you that trust in God. Put your faith and trust in him.
That's right.
It will never fail. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Amen. Oh, thank you, Marva. James, come on up. Listen, as Marva was sharing her testimony, you know, maybe some of us have had some experience with alcohol, drug addiction. Maybe some of us, you know, I know that Marva was sharing that, you know, her ex-husband was the one kind of introduced her into the, or this guy that she kind of got with turned her out on that. Listen, there is power. When you hear that testimony, there's power for God to say, I'm going to do it again in my life. It's like an invitation for something to happen in your life. And this is my friend, James Morland. Can you say hi to James? James is an awesome man of God, and James has a huge heart for homeless people. And if you were here last year, we did the sock drive. We were generating socks for the homeless. James, as we figured out this week, I think has passed out more than 100,000 pairs of socks, him and his crew, to homeless around the country, in Illinois here and in other parts of the country as well. And listen, James has a powerful testimony as well for what God did for him. So James, tell us a little bit about your history.
Well, my name is James Moore, like you said. I was raised by my mother. My father died when I was really young. And I'm third from the oldest, second to the youngest. And so I was raised in church because my mom was an evangelist. So I was raised in church all my life. Mm. So when I got old enough and moved out, I quit going to church. And, you know, most kids have fun in the world. So my fun was I got into the gay lifestyle. That was my thing. And when my mother passed away in 2000, that's when God sort of started hitting me. God put a empty space there. And I cried to my friend in Chicago. I had my best friend who lives in Chicago. And I always go up there and party with him, and that empty space still be there. So one day God put a friend in my life, name is Eric. He brought me back to church. And so we started going to church together. Then he left because he graduated from U of I. He went back to Chicago. So I quit going to church for a whole month. I didn't go back at all. But somehow, end of the month, I just felt, I'm going back to church. So I went back to church, and I always go in threes. I don't know why. Mess with me three times, I'm done with you. So when I was in church, they had this program called PPE, Prophetic Personal Encouragement. And this one woman said something to me about me and hit in my heart. I said, okay, God, you got two more strikes. If you give me two strikes, you will have me this Sunday. So one of my friends I was hanging around with said, James, can I sit with you? I said, okay. So we sat, and it was like this setup at my church. And we sat like on the far right, towards the front, but not at the front seat. So it ended up, the pastor was standing on the other side of the stage. He walked all the way and stood right in front of me. And he said something, and it hit me. And the same time he hit me, my friend hit me in my leg. I said, oh, and I turned to my friend. I said, oh, Lord, you got me. That's three strikes. You got me. And I'm always man of my word. I do not go back on my word for anybody. So I said, okay, God, you got me. So I got up, got in front of me, my friend named Putty. And he said, James, why are you up here? I said, God, I said, it's time. James, what do you mean by it's time? I said, it's time. He said, what do you mean? I said, God is calling me. So I came up. So he said, okay. So he brought a friend with him, and he prayed. When he prayed, I felt so lighthearted. I mean, peace that understanding, I couldn't have that peace before. I said, oh, Lord. And also, he took two things away from me at the same time, rated X. And so I went back to my seat. I said, okay, Lord, you got me. So since then, I've been serving God. I'm lost a lot of friends because I got that gay lifestyle. And that's fine with me because I met new friends, met new brothers and sisters. And since then, I've been going for God all the way.
Amen. Amen. James, how long did you say that you were involved in that lifestyle for?
Ooh. I started when I was 21. And I got out in 2004 or 5, around there. So a long time.
A long time.
And I always believe that wherever you end, like if it's drugs, alcohol, porn, whatever, that's going to be your thorn. That's what I believe. It's a thorn in my side, but it doesn't bother me. It does bother me sometimes, but it keeps me on my knees. That's what that thorn is for. Is to keep you on your knees, so.
That's good. Amen, amen. Well, can we just applaud for James, and thank you, James, so much. Love you, bro. Something so powerful about hearing testimonies Testimonies. There's something so amazing about hearing God testimonies of what he is and who he is and what he does. I'm going to just drag this pulpit. Don't mind me. I'm going to do it, brother. Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you. Oh, something so powerful about hearing what God does for people. Listen, do you love hearing what God does for people? Do you love hearing, man, I was in this place and God showed up and boom, something happened. Something changed. Testimonies. You know, I'm going to be intentional with time today. I know that we went a little bit longer in worship, but man, I'm glad for it. Something about just being in God's presence is so wonderful. There's nothing like that. But there's this power of the testimony. You know, testimonies are throughout Scripture. There's a lot of testimony that happens in the Bible. Testimony is incredible, you know, and these things are happening around us all the time. Listen, I was at lunch this week. I went to a little place called, little shameless plug, La Casita. Anybody know something about La Casita? Oh, yeah. We got some real ones in here. Listen, if you want the best tamales in town, La Casita, on like 39 or 34th and Tejon, it is incredible. That place has the bomb green chili. Listen, I was there. You guys have seen the guy, James, our security guy who's been helping us out around here. I was having lunch with James this week, and we were talking about the Lord and talking about ministry, and these two big guys come in. This one guy is like yoked. He's like huge, and he's got tattoos, and this other guy's got tattoos on his face. Half his face is tattooed like a skeleton. You know, he's looking kind of crazy, and I was like, all right. And I was like, they caught my eye. I happened to be wearing this hat, and he said, hey, it said Rugby Scott, which is the name of a butchery. And he said, hey, do you play rugby? I said, no. I said, do you play rugby? You look like you play rugby. You're a big man. He's like, yeah, I play a little rugby. You know, that's why I asked. And then I see him bow their head for prayer. And I'm like, uh-oh, something's going on here. I said, you guys believers? And this big guy pipes up. He said, yeah, I'm a believer, man. I love Jesus. And he was like, I mean, this guy looks like he was in the movie 300. I mean, this guy was huge. He looked like a gladiator. And he's like, oh, I love Jesus, man. And he said, I'm part of this thing called the Crucible Project, where we get these men together and teach them about authentic manhood and what it means to be a man and follow Jesus and all this stuff. And he's like, listen, I was ponying up like 150 pounds of meth. He's like, I was a drug dealer. I was a mess. My life was completely jacked up. I had been in and out of prison. I was ponying up, driving up all this meth up to Thornton. He's like, and I had all this drugs in my car. All of a sudden, I look behind me, police. Woo, 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 woo. He's like, uh-oh. He gets pulled over. He said, okay, this is it. He's got a gun. He checks his gun. He's got a bullet in there. He's like, I'm ready to lace up this police officer. Ready to kill this cop. Cop comes up, something happens with this clip, boop, it falls down to the ground. The cop sees it right as he's getting up to the window, ends up getting tased, he pulls him out of the car, you know, he gets arrested, the feds come. I mean, this is a big deal. You got that much drugs in your car, you're in trouble. Turns out, this cop says, thank you. And he says, well, why do you say thank you? He said, thank you for not killing me. He said, listen, I've got, I'm newly married, I've got a little baby at home, and I would never want to not be around for them. So thank you. And I want to tell you something right now. God's got a plan for your life. And he's just like, I was like, what? I was serving all kinds of different gods. He was like, oh, it was crazy. And so turns out he goes to prison. The charges against him are huge. Well, there's a hung jury. Doesn't end up having to go to jail for all this time. He only has to go for this pistol that he had. So he's doing this time, and then he gets released to this place called Harvest Farm, which is here in Colorado. Now, Harvest Farm is kind of like a transitional program through Denver Rescue Mission. It's where people can kind of get out of the city. They go and they work on a farm. They do Bible studies, all kinds of different stuff to help people. And so they're like, you know, he's like, I'll play your little games. He's like, yeah, whatever, you know, you're God, Jesus, whatever. Well, it turns out this guy goes up to a men's retreat up in the mountains, and he said, go to this men's retreat, open the doors. This room is full of guys. Guess who was there? That cop comes walking right over to him. He said, I told you God had a plan for you. This guy, we're over at La Casita, and this big old dude, this gladiator is like tearing up, crying. He's like, listen, and this guy, he's like, I knew that God had a plan for your life. Tell me what he's done. He's like, telling him about everything that had happened. And he said, listen, God is wanting you. He wants a relationship with you. Are you ready to serve him? He ends up giving his life to the Lord. He has like an encounter with Jesus. He actually sees Jesus. And now listen, I want to tell you, this guy is fiery. He is planting sober houses throughout Denver. This guy is going and he works in transitional housing. He is now helping people that have come out of prison. He's helping people and he's serving, he's giving back, and he's doing it with such love. This guy that he was with, this guy with the skeleton tattoos, you know, I start kind of like, I'm like, man, I was like, hey, what do you think about everything that's going on? He's like, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not saved yet, but you know, this is kind of interesting. I said, listen, this is not just interesting. This is a sign. And signs point to something. You're not hearing about what just God did for these. And the guy, James, who's here, he has an amazing testimony too. Where he was all out on drugs and he was doing crazy stuff. And he got, you know, he got beat to death by the Bloods and he came back to life. I mean, just crazy. And so these guys are talking about, oh yeah, in prison I got saved, and da, 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 all this kind of stuff. And I said, this is not just for these guys, it's for you. Because it's a testimony. Because when testimonies get shared, what you heard about these testimonies, some of you may have never heard of somebody who lived a gay lifestyle and got supernaturally set free from it. Well, now you have. Some of you guys may have a family member. Some of you might be on stuff yourself right now, may have an addiction, might have something that you need to get supernaturally set free from. There's a testimony that just got released. You can anchor your heart to, and you can say, Jesus, do the same thing for me. Amen. And amen. It's the power of testimonies. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his followers this amazing thing. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Say witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Through testimony. What was he saying? He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to tell people about me. You're going to tell people about what I am and what I did and all the things that I did. And something happened in Acts 2, if you've read Acts 2. This is so powerful that God, these activators, they're like when you give a testimony, it's kind of like saying, God, do it again. God, my faith is stirred up. God, I see who you are. I know who you are and see how you want to move. And I want to see more of that. This happened in Acts 2. So remember, after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection, what happened is the Holy Spirit came. Somebody say, Holy Spirit. Woo-wee! He likes it when we talk about him. Holy Spirit. He came. Do you remember what happened? He filled these people, but people thought that these people that got filled with the Spirit were drunk because they were talking in tongues. I mean, people were like, what are you guys, drunk? It's like 9 a.m. What's going on? Peter, he gets up. He starts testifying. He starts testifying about what he saw. He started testifying about the other disciples, what these guys saw at the time of Jesus. And he said this in Acts 22 through 24. He said, fellow Israelites. So you've got this big stir. You've got all these people gathered together. He says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Come on, amen. And then jump over to verse 29. Peter continues. He goes, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and he was buried. And his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet And he knew that God had promised an oath to him that he would one day place one of his descendants on the throne. He starts testifying. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor was his body to see decay. God raised Jesus to life. We are witnesses of it. We saw Jesus. We're testifying. We saw Jesus. Listen, you can say what you want. You can believe what you want, but we saw Jesus. We saw him. He came back. We talked with him. We walked with him. He came back. We're witnesses of it. Exalted in verse 33, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promise, Holy Spirit, and he has poured it out for you to see and hear. Then in 37 through 41, it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Some of these other translations, what must we do to be saved? Something happened when the testimony of Jesus started happening. It was like prophetic. It was saying all these guys' hearts got stirred. They say, well, brothers, what should we do? What must we do to be saved? Verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Repent means to change the way you're going. Turn around. Turn around. Turn towards God. You've been walking away from God. Repent. Turn toward him. You ain't going to get home if you're walking away from home. You're not going to get to where you need to go if you're walking the other direction. Repent, turn toward him, and start walking a new way. Repent, and he said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off. For all who are from the Lord will call, all who call on the Lord. I'm sorry, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It says, with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. That was a good day. Come on, that was a good day, wasn't it? That's a good day. Why did that happen? Testimony. Peter was sharing his testimony of what he saw God do through Jesus. He said, listen, I walked with this man. I was his disciple. And they knew that in that time, like if you had a rabbi, it was basically a teacher that you were linked up to, that you were with all the time. You were following him around. You were trying to get in his, like in the dust of his steps. So you would know him so close. You would watch him when he talked to people, and you'd ask him questions about life and about the Torah, about scriptures. You were walking day in and day out with this guy. People knew that these disciples were with Jesus. They saw them. And these disciples were testifying. Listen, Jesus died, but he was resurrected from the dead. And he came back and he was with us. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. And now, boom, all of a sudden signs and wonders are following those that believe. And still there's amazing things that are happening. He's testifying. And what happens? Others come into that place. Listen, I want to tell you right now, if you know Jesus, you have a testimony. If you know Jesus, you have a testimony. You have light inside of you. You have something that supernaturally has been happening inside of you. And listen, you may not have been addicted to crack. You may not have come out of a gay lifestyle, but you have something that God delivered you from. And he is delivering you from. You have a testimony. Testimonies are meant to be shared. Testimonies are meant to be shared. Listen, when we talk about Jesus, it's like an invitation to say, do it again. There's that song that we sing, I've seen you move the mountain, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Bom, 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 bom. Bom, 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 bom. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. You know, one of the Hebrew words in the Old Testament for testimony is eduth. Can you say that? Eduth. Tiki, I hope I'm saying that all right. It comes from the root word ayid, A-Y-D in English. And the root word of that means repeat. So testimony comes from the root word repeat, to do it again. So when you hear, there's that beautiful scripture from Revelation 19 that says the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. True prophecy will testify about Jesus, and Jesus releases true prophecy. When Jesus does something for you, it's basically saying, I want to do it again. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. What God did for one, he wants to do for another. If you heard God setting somebody free, he wants to set you free. And I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. He wants to set you free. Testimonies, testimonies, testimonies. I'm telling you, we are in a time when God wants us to share our testimonies. And it doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be a hard lift. It can be with people you know, people at work, at school, or wherever. Just say something about God. Man, God loves us so much. You know what? He rescued me and he helped me in this time. Here's what he did for me. Did you know this? Did you know that? And watch and see what God will happen. What God will do. He's going to make something happen. Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11 says this. And Jeff, thanks so much for reading that Revelation. That chapter is so powerful. So, so powerful. Oh, man, to him who sits on the throne. Revelation is great. Read this. It says this. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. Now listen to this. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night. We know who that accuser is. That's the enemy. That's Satan. That's the devil. He hates you. He wants to steal from you and kill you and destroy you and everybody you know and everybody you love. He's constantly before trying to accuse. But it says this in 10, he has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and by what? The word of their testimony. They triumphed from the blood of the Lamb because of what Jesus did and the word of their testimony. They started releasing it. You know, something is powerful about testimonies. I believe that we're created in God's own image. And God spoke into life the universe. By his word, he spoke these things into life. If we're created in his image and we're speaking those things that he's done in our lives, God set me free from drugs. He set me free from porn. He set me free from lying, from accusation. He set me free from all these things. All of a sudden, it's like you're impregnating the atmosphere, if you will. I don't want to use weird, spacey words, but it's like there's something that's going to happen. And people's spirits feel it. It's like, God, you want to do something in me too. It's what happens. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Listen, if you're under the pile, start giving testimony. Start remembering what God has done for you. Start declaring it. Start posting it on Facebook. Start sharing it with your friends and your family. Share it everywhere because God has a story he's put in you and he wants to use that to help and to heal the world. My question for you this morning is, what has God done for you? I don't know. Does anybody here have a testimony? Come on. Does anybody have a testimony? Does anybody have a testimony of who God is and what he did in your life? We got testimonies. We got testimonies. Jeff, you want to see? We've got testimonies. We've all got something that God has done in our lives. And listen, when we release those things, he wants to do it again. He wants to do it again. It's who he is. It's what he does. Again, that whole root word of testimony is do it again. We want God to do it again. We want him to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, and repeating it. So what has God done for you? What has God done for you? Share it with people. You know, one thing that has been so important for me At one point, I really wanted to see God heal people supernaturally and through, you know, physical healing, and I wanted to move in the gifts of the Spirit with prophecy. So I just started getting hungry. And so I started reading scripture about when God did it. I started receiving those testimonies from the Word, and I started praying, God, would you help me to see this? And I started watching YouTube videos of people praying for the sick and then getting healed and prophecy, you know. And I started feasting myself on testimonies. I started feeding myself on testimonies, and you want to know what? It worked. It started getting activated in my life, and I got to see people getting supernatural healed and the prophetic, and these gifts started rising up. And I believe part of that was because I was hungry for it. Whatever area of breakthrough in your life, I want to encourage you, get into testimonies. If you want to be a better steward of your finances, maybe your finances are kind of a mess. Listen to testimonies of, man, God helped me sort it out. Look on YouTube of testimonies about financial breakthrough. And watch and see. And when you listen, don't just listen like a skeptic with your arms closed or, well, you did that for them, but you're not going to do it for me. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Be open. Say, God, you want to do that for me. If you need a breakthrough in a relationship, look at testimonies of supernatural breakthroughs for relationship. Read the scriptures. Pray. Ask God what he's doing. Show me those times when you broke through and he wants to do it for you. I'm telling you, this thing about testimonies is so powerful. But the enemy wants to shut us up. He wants to keep us quiet, and he doesn't want us to hear about the good things that God has done. Amen? But he has done good things. Listen, the greatest testimony of all is that God so loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. I'm testifying today that Jesus is God. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is God. I'm telling you right now, he has set me free. That he grabbed me and he pulled me out of the mud, and I was in some mud. And he pulled me out and he set me free, and he has rescued me and he's delivered me and he's filled me and he loves me and he cares for me. I'm telling you right now that that is who God is, and he is the same one for you. He loves you. You're created in his own image. He wants to set you free. He wants to grab that thing that might be holding you back and cut that thing off and say, go, run. Be everything that I've created you to be. Amen? Somebody say amen today. Amen. Amen. Brother, why don't you come on up? We can stand. Brother, why don't you come up? You got a little testimony. I want to have this brother share briefly. How's it going? Good. What's your name?
Isaac.
Isaac.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to read you some scripture before I just do a quick testimony. Here's what Adonai Tizavot, the God of Israel, says to all those in exile, whom I have caused to be carried off captive to Jerusalem, to Babel. Build yourself houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Choose women to marry and have sons and daughters. Choose wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage to men so that they can have sons and daughters. Increase your numbers there, don't decrease. Seek the welfare of the city, which I have caused you to go into exile, and pray to Adonai on its behalf, for your welfare is bound up in its welfare. For this is what Adonai Tizavot, the God of Israel, says, don't let your prophets who are living among you and your diviners deceive you, and don't pay attention to the dreams you urge them to dream. For they are prophesying falsely in my name. I have not sent them, says Adonai. For here is what Adonai says. After Babel's 70 years are over, I will remember you and fulfill my good promise to you by bringing you back to this place. For I know the plans I have in mind for you, says Adonai.
That's right.
Plans for well-being, not for bad things, so that you can have a hope in the future. When you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me with all of your heart, and provided you seek me wholeheartedly, I will let you find me, says Adonai. Then I will reverse your exile. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have driven you, says Adonai, and bring you back to the place from which I exiled you.
Amen.
The reason I read this is I lived the whole lifestyle of selling drugs and off and on, you know, caused a lot of destruction in my family. But... When I went to prison this time, I wholeheartedly submitted to Jesus Christ, and he transformed me completely.
Come on.
One of the things he told me during this in my testimony, I had just had my teeth pulled. I was on a 24-hour lockdown, and I was in the worst pain because I got dry socket. I was stuck in the cell. My kid's mom had just left me, so I was in the worst pain ever, physically and mentally, right? And he just quietly whispered to me, he said, "Your healing comes through your pain." Immediately, my mouth was healed, and I was able to get some rest. I woke up at about 3 in the morning, and my mouth was dropping again. I said, "Lord, I thought you said my healing comes through my pain, that flesh, just thinking about myself, right?" And he said, "Quiet again, your healing comes through your pain." And I realized then that when God puts us in places where he put me or where we're going through, if you feel down or whatever, he wants us to go through it with him.
Come on.
He wants us to plant, and he wants us to build wherever he puts us. So in my testimony, I'm keeping it short because there's so much I could say God did for me. If you're going through something,
that's right,
and you're going through it over and over and over and over again, all God's waiting for you is for you to go through it with him. And it's short. That's all my testimony is. And I just want to say, as soon as you submit completely to God, that's when he transforms you. You see in Jeremiah, it says, "When you seek me wholeheartedly." So,
amen.
That's my testimony.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, bro. Thanks, Isaac. Come on, listen. Man, we could do this all day. Testify. Listen, we just heard about a brother that was in prison and he had dry socket and God met him and he said, "I want you to go through this with me." Some of us are trying to go through things alone. How's that working out? It sucks. Somebody said it sucks. Exactly right. There's no better description. It sucks to do life without Jesus. The good news is we don't have to. Let's all stand. Listen, I believe that this morning God wants to do something in your life. God wants to set people free. Sometimes the things that keep us from God are those things that are like, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to be seen as weak. Some of us struggle with disbelief. Is God really as good as he says that he is? Can he really set me free? To want to say yes, he can't. This morning, we want to open up the altar, and I want to say, listen, I don't care if you've been down at this altar and you've laid that thing down 20 times. And you're like, "God, you know this is something I'm dealing with. I want you to come up." If God's putting something on your heart that you want to just release to him, if you want to say, "God, I received the power of the testimony." And that could be anything. That could be an addiction. That could be finances. That could be relationship problems. That could be mental health issues, anxiety, depression, fear, something that is binding you down and keeping you captive. Listen, the good news is that he is the way maker. He made a way. He is with us every single day, and he is journeying with us, and he wants to walk alongside of you, and he wants to set you free. And I'm just telling you right now, I think there's just a grace, a time for us to come and do business with the Lord. And so I just want to invite, if you feel the Lord urging you to just come forward, just to come to the altar, to come forward and just to receive prayer, won't you come? Won't you come? Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't let that stuff just hinder you from coming. Come down and meet Jesus at the altar. And I'm telling you, he wants to meet you. He wants to be with you. He wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to know that you're not defined by any of your failures, by any of your garbage or your junk. He wants to set you free. He wants to meet with you and bless you. Come. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. He's so good. He's so good. We need to know him. We need to walk with him. I'm telling you, I feel just like with depression and anxiety, I feel like that there's just something around depression and anxiety. And this is stuff that like kind of like is chronic. Come down. Come down. God wants to meet you. God wants to break those things off. And he's just like, sometimes he's looking for us to take steps toward him. To take steps toward him. Watch and see what God will do. Let the Lord meet you. If you don't know Jesus, there's always this invitation right now to come meet him. Or maybe you know him and you walked away from him. And he's saying, come, won't you come? He's saying, my arms are open wide. Come, come, come. Come unto Jesus. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day for recommitment. Today is the day that he's calling out to you. And he just says, come. And I'm telling you, you might get somebody to pray for you, you might not. But listen, Jesus is here. And he wants to meet with you. He wants to set you free. And by his Holy Spirit, he's going to do things in your life that are supernatural. Because he is a supernatural God. That's what he does. It's who he is. He is good all the time. All the time, he is good. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Let him burden your heart. Let him set you free. Let him burden you with what burdens him, which is his love for you. Sometimes that love for him, for us, feels heavy. He wants to put that on us, and it's like a comforter. It surrounds us, and it unlocks us from the stuff that we shouldn't be carrying, the heaviness of the world. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, God, we love you. We love your presence, God. We thank you so much for being with us today. We thank you for this powerful testimony that you've given us, that you are alive and active and that you're moving and that you're not a dead God. And you're always doing awesome stuff, Lord, and you are an awesome God and you're moving. And God, you come to set us free. Set the captives free today. Lord, we just thank you so much that depression is gone in Jesus' name. We curse depression. Depression, leave right now in Jesus' name. Anxiety, leave right now in Jesus' name. Chronic pain, leave right now in Jesus' name. You came to set us free. You come to save us and deliver us. So come and deliver us today. Come deliver us today. Lord, we receive the power of the testimony. The testimony of Jesus, Lord, we believe that you are who you said you are and you do what you say you will do. God, we love you. We worship you today, Lord. We bless you today. Lord, we're not going to let any shame or embarrassment or anything keep us from you, God. You have such a powerful thing you want to do in our lives, Lord. And you have, like our brother read, Lord, you know the plans that you have made for us, plans to prosper us and give us a future. It's because of you. We thank you and we want to bless the plans. And we don't want to thank you so much that you bring freedom for the captives in Jesus' name. We just say freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Be free. Who the Son set free is free indeed. Be free in Jesus' name. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you take those burdens from us. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. We love your presence. We love your presence, God. Oh, Rabashita Rabakini. We just want to pray in the Spirit. Let's say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move powerfully, Lord. Move powerfully, Lord. By the power of your testimony, Lord, what you did for one, you want to do for others, Lord. Do it again. Do it again, oh God. He loves us. He loves us. He loves you. He's a living God. He's alive and he loves us. Listen, sometimes we get these impressions when God speaks to us, and I got this impression for, I don't know if somebody's name here is Aaron, or if you have a son that's named, does anybody have a son named Aaron? Or is anybody here an Aaron? You do? You do right here? Where is it? You're Aaron? His son. We have an Aaron over here. You're the one with the son, Aaron? He passed away. How long ago did he pass away, brother? 12 years? Was it a pretty rough situation? Young son. Two of them. What's your name, brother? Tyrone? Could we have a couple people just gather around Tyrone? I feel like the Lord wants to bless you, Tyrone. I feel like that he just, with this Aaron, and I want to pray for this Aaron too, but I just feel like that God just wants to let you know he loves you and he is for you. And the pain from loss and the pain from losing your son, he just wants to encourage you today. So let's just pray. Can we just pray for Tyrone? Father, we just want to lift up Tyrone to you today. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you love Tyrone. Father, that you are for him, not against him. Father, we thank you that you would restore what the locusts have eaten, Lord. And when the loss of his son, Aaron, Lord, that you would just bless him in that place and that heaviness that can come in his heart just from walking around with that, Lord, that you would just ease that heaviness, that you would lighten his load. Lord, that you would lighten that load, Lord, that you would lighten that load that his heart has been carrying, Lord. And Father, that you would come and that you would release him. Lord, that you would release him into the fullness of who you say he is. And Lord, any kind of spirit of death that's around this man's family, we curse that right now and we say, leave in Jesus' name. Any sort of thing that's come against you, Tyrone, in Jesus' name, that is like a spiritual war, we come against right now in Jesus' name. And we say that thing gets shut down now. Stop now. Leave him alone. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just release blessing over Tyrone, over his family, over his house. I just ask that you would help him to flourish, be everything that you say he is. Meet with him. In Jesus' name. And just real quick, where's this other Aaron? Where's Aaron? You're Aaron? Hi, Aaron. Man. Aaron, I just feel like God wants you to know he loves you so much. Yeah, he sees you like a father sees a son. And he wants you to know him as a father, not just as God. He wants you to like deeply know him as a father. And he wants to show you how much his father's heart is for you. I'm telling you right now, he loves you. And it's like he cares for you. And he says, you're strong and courageous. He's made you strong and courageous. Even when you don't feel like it, Aaron, he wants you to know that you're strong and courageous. And he's put some real good gifts inside of your life. And I feel like the enemies try to come and lie to you and tell you things that are not true. Try to take you out. And I think you know what I'm trying to say. He has tried to come and literally take your life away. But God wants you to know he has saved your life. And he will continue to save your life. As you lay your life down for him, he wants to move in your life. And it's because the Father loves you and he is for you, Aaron. I'm telling you that right now, man. He loves you. Because some people just gather around Aaron. James, would you pray? We just want to bless you, Aaron. Is that okay? Yeah. Father, we just bless Aaron, Father. We just thank you so much for Aaron. We thank you that you love him. Thank you that your father's heart is for him. Lord, that he would know you in a deep, deep, deep way. Lord, that Aaron would just come to know you as the father that I don't know about, like, your natural dad, or if he was in your life or what that dynamic is, but I see him saying, like, you need me as a dad. You need me as a dad, and he wants to be your dad. He wants to be your father, and you're going to experience the father's love in such a powerful way. Lord, we bless Aaron today. We bless you, Aaron. We bless you with the love of the Father. He sees you and he knows you. And where the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus came that you would have life and life abundantly. And any sort of depression or anxiety or stuff that you've dealt with that's kind of been cloudy, that leaves right now in Jesus' name. And we just declare clarity over your life and provision over your life too. I don't know if you've been looking for a job or something, like you've been trying to find some work or something to do, give you meaning. God has a meaning for your life. He wants to release those things to you. So we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just conclude this morning. Thanks, guys, for standing. I know we're a little bit long, but man, sometimes that happens. Oh, let's pray. This is a blessing. To receive blessing from the Lord is nothing small. God wants to bless his people. He loves us. And interestingly enough, this is called the Aaronic blessing, like Aaron. But we can all receive this blessing, and it's from God's heart to us. We'll pray this over you in English and then sing it in Hebrew, the original language. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may the Lord grant you his peace. In the Hebrew. Yivarechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ek parunah epanah avalecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Panavalecha Ve'asam lecha Shalom. Walk in the peace and the blessing of your Lord and God, Jesus the Messiah. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great week. Amen. Hallelujah.